Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I need your help unenslaving a lot of people. We do have a midterm coming up, and we have other things that we need to jump into as a public to get things done. We can't leave it all up to Donald Trump. So please share far and wide. We have Guy Gottschalk back with us, and there's been some major turns in crypto, and I don't think it can be understated. Now it shot up, it's come back to earth a little bit, but the trend curve is very positive. And now we're also seeing retail across the country ever increasingly embracing crypto. And here's the thing, a lot of my audience, I know about a third of you, are 55, 60, 65. This is the new rage. You have to adapt. Just as in your lifetime, if you're an older baby boomer, you had to adapt to credit cards. You had to adapt to an ATM. You're going to have to adapt because this is the new economy. And by the way, it could save the dollar. Guy, welcome to the show. Really glad to be with you. You're going to have some company, by the way, here very shortly. The feds are coming down to investigate your governor, Governor Newsom.
Oh, really?
California on 5 points. Yeah. There was a state legislator who came out on YouTube talking about it. And the day later, I heard, yeah, that's absolutely true. They're coming. Now, I don't
I
know
guess
if
I
it's
should welcome them.
I don't know if it's slapping the wrist time, but there's been so much money mismanagement. I think people will naturally have an affinity for something outside the dollar because the dollar has been so abused. Doge. Medic, I mean, the whole thing that they uncover with Doge. But anyway, what my layman's reaction is this. Crypto went way up last year. Then it kind of settled back to earth a little bit. And now we're seeing an increased interest. And the future seems to be very bright. And the trend curve is incredible. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. And just to hit on your initial point about, you know, you have to adapt, right? If you're in your 50s, 60s, and it just got me thinking about an article I read just yesterday about, you know, how I think 44% of home equity loans are now being taken out by seniors. And a big part of that is because they can't afford retirement. So they're refinancing their homes to be able to take money out so that they can live in retirement. Retirement is becoming more and more elusive, right? And you know, it's really hard for, and there's another study that says 1 in 10 seniors say they can't afford assisting living facilities. And so, you know, with inflation, inflation is crazy. You know, the dollar is not enough. You know, even other assets, and you have pension funds that are increasingly offering, you know, Bitcoin and crypto as a way to keep up, as a way to, you know, have higher returns, because you have to have the higher returns. There is that demand now. Otherwise, you're retiring later. You're taken out, you know, if you're lucky enough, a loan on your home. And so, yeah, I mean, this is even over here. It says Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, recently warned that America's aging population has put the U.S. retirement system under immense strain. And so, you know, one way we can solve it is by, you know, taking it upon ourselves, not relying, you know, on the government to do it, but, you know, having at least some crypto, right? You see this strategy, you know, is being taken by companies more and more. Every day I read about a new company that's converting their cash reserves to Bitcoin. And you have the governments all over the world are, you know, starting to hold Bitcoin in their treasuries. So, you know, individuals, I think, need to adapt and do it as well. No matter if you're tech savvy or not tech savvy, you know, that's why platforms like My Digital Money exist, to make it easier for people that might not know how to manage a wallet. And so, yeah, just wanted to, you just sparked, you know, that article when you said that, you know, it just made me think of that article. But all right, so back to your question. So your question was what?
The trend curve.
The trend. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, right after the election, Donald Trump's election, the price shot up, right? From like the 60s to the all-time high of 108,000. That's the Bitcoin price. And of course, all the altcoins followed. So the crypto market went crazy and then it pulled back, right? And Bitcoin went back down to, the low 70s. I think even, the high 60,000 at one point. But in the last month, it's now back up over 100,000 again. What I am seeing is that this time there's a lot of institutions. Before there were a lot more retail investors. I think they were on a high from the win, the Trump's win, and they were very confident about, the direction of the economy. And then when tariffs started, I think that there started to be some uncertainty. People pulled back, but I think institutions really, take advantage when the price is low, right?
Oh, yeah.
Institutions, they know, right? They like individuals tend to invest when the price goes up, which is counter, it should be the opposite. So I think institutions have really propped up the price, and now, retail investors are kind of back, especially now that, China and US, have a 90-day deal, to kind of lower the reciprocal tariffs. So now retail investors are back. So I think
Yeah, I agree.
now we're positioned to go really high. Before we hit, 108,000, now I think we've built some support levels, and now we can make our way to where a lot of predictions are, 150,000, 200,000. Those are some predictions that are out there. But I think now we're in a better position for it, than before. Before it was just the hype of the election, but now we've built up some support.
What is your estimate on the percentage of increase we've had since Trump has come in?
On Bitcoin,
Yes.
so it's if it went from like the 60s to 108, I mean that is
Right.
pretty substantial. I'd say like 80%, so 70%, something like that. So
Amazing.
yeah, I mean it's in line with how Bitcoin always performs over any 5-year period. It's really outperforms any other asset. And so yeah, there's ups and downs, but if you're taking a long-term view, it does really well. But yeah, Trump certainly helped. I think the administration is much more friendly. We talked about this in your previous shows, right? The SEC now has Paul Atkins, very, crypto friendly. We have legislation being worked on for the stablecoin bill. Unfortunately, it failed the Senate last week, but that was just a small hiccup. I think there's negotiations. They're kind of revising the bill, the stablecoin bill, and I think it'll get passed this year, hopefully by end of summer. And there's a couple other bills, so we're getting regulatory clarity. There's even a story that, again, I read about yesterday. Missouri is basically positioning itself as a haven for cryptocurrency, and there's other states that are doing this as well. They're trying to go for no taxes on crypto. So it says here the American state of Missouri has passed a bill to exempt cryptocurrency gains from state taxes. So they passed this bill. So that is a significant story that it's the same with a few other states. And I've heard Trump talk about doing this, at the national level, like, don't tax crypto as a way to become the
Yeah.
crypto capital of the world and bring crypto business here.
I think that's a good idea by Trump. I'm wondering though why the banks and the government have dropped their opposition to crypto for the most part. I mean, Jamie Dimon at one time said, if any of my employees ever take crypto, that'll be their last day working for me. And now he's one of the biggest buyers of crypto. What's going on now? Why the shift?
Yeah, I think it just took time for people to kind of see the adoption, to see that it's kind of like the network effect, right? When you see big institutions getting into it, and now there's an ETF, and you see that that opened up the floodgates to institutional investors, to accredited investors, and when you see everybody in it, it takes down people's resistance, right? And at some point they just couldn't deny it anymore. They just hit that breaking point.
Breaking point, I think, is probably the right way to look at this. Here's a debate I had with someone the other day, and it was a friendly debate, but nonetheless, it was a debate. Is crypto and these other basket of currencies going to be used to back up the dollar, or is it going to be a cooperative effort? As one varies, the other varies. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will, help back up the dollar. If we keep it in treasury, it could help back up the dollar. But I still think the dollar has its place. But I think you need to also have Bitcoin, to keep it honest, right? Because Bitcoin,
Absolutely.
yeah, I think that back to your other question, it's like, if you don't do it, someone else will, right? It's that mentality that if you don't adopt a certain innovation, China will, other countries will, and you'll get left behind, right? And so, there was resistance by the government because, in a way, it competes with the dollar, right? It takes away control from the government. But you might as well do it, otherwise you'll be left behind. So it's kind of like when you have a business, and you have a product, and you then create a new product which cannibalizes your cash cow, your old product, right? You have to do it because someone else will, right? So you have to kind of take a hit in the short term and kind of cannibalize your own business, even if you're a monopoly, because someone else will at some point. So yeah, I think it's a similar thing.
Yeah, but the blue cities are going broke like crazy. And California is an example of this. At some point in time, there's got to be a course correction. But these people have Trump derangement syndrome so bad that I don't think they can jump on what's winning. I mean, what are states like California and Illinois going to do?
So do in terms of what?
Well, in terms of saving their own economy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think one thing when you mentioned the Feds coming in and kind of auditing and taking a look more closely at what Newsom's doing. I think blockchain is a great application for this because you can actually track the management of funds and where funds are going. It really adds a lot of transparency, and I think that's one way to fix this kind of problem, right? Is to add transparency and make sure that funds are being used in the right way. So I think that's an interesting application of blockchain. But yeah, in terms of what are they going to do to the economy, I hope that we're going to pass better laws here. I mean, there's crime. I live in California, as you know. So, my own house got burglarized in a gated community, the week that I moved in.
Wow.
This is a community that was never burglarized before, and there was two burglaries on the same day, and now there was another two last week. It's these organized groups, and they just don't get punished when they even when they get caught. The punishment is not strong enough, right? So I think we just need better local laws and leadership, and I hope
Agreed.
that will happen.
They say tariff could be a replacement for taxes, and I certainly know that there's precedent for that, historically speaking. In fact, we had over 113 years of it. What about crypto? Can it free us from the bounds of taxation?
I don't know if they'll totally free us, but I think it certainly can help, right? Because it can help, also reduce the deficit. If you hold it in the treasury, that can help reduce the deficit and essentially help fund the government. So it's not going to replace taxes, I don't think, but it's one of many tools to, help reduce the burden, of taxes.
Yeah, I'm getting into deep thought on this because one of the taxes we should eliminate is property tax. It's regressive and it really takes advantage of the elderly that stop working, but they live in an appreciated home value. And you think it would be just common sense to transfer some of your tax burden to crypto and the basket of currencies back that will back up the dollar. Have you given any thought to that?
Not as much as you have, that's for sure. But yeah, I think that's the direction. I think we have a bill on the table to purchase 1 million bitcoins over 5 years, as the U.S. government, right? And I think we're also putting gold and other things. I mean, governments are gobbling up gold as well.
Yeah,
I
big
think that's
time.
a store of value. That's outside of the fiat system. Is smart to keep in your treasury, because fiat is always gonna you're always gonna print money, and it's gonna be devalued, and at some point it could be worth nothing. So you have to protect yourself as a government, as an individual. So you buy Bitcoin.
No, you're not.
While I don't give advice, I say buy
No, you're preaching to the choir, though.
Bitcoin.
No, I totally agree. In fact, we could even expand that beyond Bitcoin, property taxes got to go. Bitcoin provides an opportunity to move in that direction, as does gold, silver, and probably lithium eventually too. So, it's a real problem. By the way, did you happen to see, this is kind of digressing, alchemy has been perfected to the point where lead can be transferred to gold.
No.
Yeah, it's a matter of changing the protons. I was reading an article on it. It was on MSN yesterday, and I forget the scientific journal. It was really good. I saved the article, but it was fantastically interesting.
So are you saying the supply of a gold is going to skyrocket?
Not necessarily. The thing is, let's say the process is very expensive. It might be a case of it's not worth the expense for what you'll get out of it. And I just, but I do think it could cause a shift. Yes. And
Yeah.
that
That would
was,
be really good for Bitcoin,
that was where I was going to go with this. Exactly.
though. Yeah, that would be good for Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has a fixed supply, as and already I think 95% is in circulation. So we're not making much more going forward. So we can't suddenly convert something into additional Bitcoin, like you just mentioned with gold. That's what makes it valuable. I think that's why there's predictions out there that it's going to go to $1.5 million by 2030, and some say 2.5 million. So think about it. We're at 100,000 now, so if that can happen in 5 years, why not even just put a little bit in there?
Bitcoin reminds me a little bit about the stock market, where psychology drives the interest and the worth.
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of cryptocurrencies are like the stock market, because they're essentially like companies, but decentralized companies. Well, a lot of them are actually centralized too, but yeah, there's actually utility behind it, right? You're actually building some kind of function with each cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is a store of value. You have other cryptocurrencies that have all kinds of other purposes, right? You can have like a lending platform, you have all kinds of use cases. And so yeah, they are kind of like stocks. You have to do your research and make sure you like the technology, the founders, and that you believe in kind of the use case, and that there's a market for that, whatever problem it's solving. So in a way, it is similar to stocks. A lot of people think crypto is just doesn't have any value, it's just money out of thin air, but
Yeah.
it's not true. There's actually real physical technologies, behind it. Software.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through financial changes before, and people need to buckle up because this is one of them. It really is. Let's turn our attention to the person who says, "Yeah, okay, gold, silver, Bitcoin, Dave. You've been pounding this hard. How do people do business with my digital money?" And I'm going to hold you out as an example. What do people do when they say, okay, it's inevitable? I got to learn what the heck I'm doing, and Bitcoin is going to be at the center of it because this is the trend.
Yeah, I mean, so you basically just give us a call, or go to our website, and it takes 5 minutes to sign up. And if you have questions about specific cryptocurrencies on our platform, we're obviously there's a lot of a wealth of information out there on our website as well, but you can call us and we can help give you the lay of the land. We try to make it approachable, of course, but now there's a lot of information out there. But yeah, we have someone you can call right in the US, so that's one of our differentiators. And the one of the main differentiators is that we're the most secure platform out there. You actually own your crypto, even though it's not in your own wallet. We can't actually touch it. So, and we have top of the line cold storage, right? It's offline, away from hacks. So, if you're looking for a secure way, you're looking for long-term investment, I think it's a good fit. So yeah, all you gotta do is call the number, go on the website.
Excuse me, as I got something in my eye here. The number, can you give that out? I love the
Yeah,
number, by the way.
it's 833 636 2008.
Yes, and mydigitalmoney.com obviously is the website. Folks, this is the wave of the future. And I was first introduced to this, excuse me, by my good friend Ernie Hancock back in, I think it was about 08, 09. And he gave me a Bitcoin. I wish I could find it. I know I have it.
Uh-oh.
Can you imagine the worth of that today?
Yeah.
And I said, well,
So
what's it worth today, Ernie? And he said, about 10 bucks. And I got a vacation hiding in my house somewhere.
yeah, so it's a Bitcoin is 103,000, right? Like you said he
Yeah,
gave you a
I
whole
hear you.
Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So that's more than a vacation. I don't know, you're taking some lavish vacations for 100,000.
No,
You must have a big family.
I yeah, I will find the coin. I know it's in our radio studio somewhere, and we're doing a spring cleaning. Once my wife has recovered and through everything, we're going to do a spring cleaning, so I will find it. But it
And
was
that's the thing. If you invest with a platform like ours, you won't have that problem because you can
yeah,
just,
talk about that.
yeah, you could just go on and say, forgot my password or call us and it's not like you have like this long passphrase. When you have your own wallet, you have a long passphrase, and if you lose it, then that's it. You really can't
You're
access
screwed,
your,
yeah.
yeah. So here it's like, you don't have that problem. So there's pros and cons, right? To managing your own wallet. But I think for most people, it makes sense to go this route, especially because, it's secure. Yeah, a lot of platforms out there, when you go this route, if you actually read the fine print, you are considered an unsecured creditor. So if they go bankrupt, you're waiting in line. And that's not the case here, right? So you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get that security, without, needing to manage, without the risk of managing your own wallet and losing your crypto.
My audience is falling out of their chair laughing because most days I mention Dodd-Frank as a warning. I said, Dodd-Frank 2010, you're an unsecured creditor and they can take your retirement if it's in the bank. They can take your savings. They can, and I said, and you need to fix this and you can. But it's interesting that you brought that up. Let me tell you about a conversation I had with a guy in Colorado. He is the head guy for a big banking chain. And I used to coach him years ago. And so we're sitting there. We had a reunion with a bunch of guys that w they played for me. And I asked him privately, I said, tell me about Dodd-Frank. Can you really keep my money? And he says, we're not supposed to talk about that. And here I'm a guy, I know him really well. I've known him for decades. We stay in contact. I can't talk about that.
Yeah, it's and that's true. I mean, keeping your money in the bank is, as you always say, is it's a risk, right? Because the fractional reserve system. I
Yeah.
just saw an interview with Tim Draper. Do you know who Tim Draper is?
Yes.
Yeah, so he's a venture capital investor, billionaire. He invested in, Hotmail and SpaceX, Tesla, and all these, all the big companies. And he has, a venture capital firm. And basically, he said that. During the Silicon Valley collapse, Silicon Valley Bank, if you recall, basically a lot of the companies that he's invested in gave him a call and said, "Hey, it's Thursday, payroll's on Monday. I don't know. I don't think I can make payroll because basically the banks shut off access, right? So they couldn't make payroll. And as a CEO of a company, you're responsible for payroll at the end of the
Yes.
day. You have to pay it. It has to come out of your pocket. And so then basically his advice to them was, hey, hold some Bitcoin in your treasury, your company's treasury, because for this purpose, right? If something happens with the banks, you at least have Bitcoin. You can make payroll, right? And so
That's
that's the purpose it serves, right? Because,
my good point.
with the banks, it's fictitious money, right? That you have. So you might as well hold something that is yours, right? And that is really yours, and it's not just, a third party claiming it for you, right?
Yeah, I asked a politician one time, "Sir, give me a dollar." We're talking publicly, and he gave me a dollar, and I said, "Okay," and I had prepared this. I pulled out 9 $1 bills and I said, "Thank you." And I put it in my wallet and I said, "I'm going to loan this, this, this." And I went through all nine. He said, "You could go to jail for that." I said, "Yeah, then why don't the banks go to jail for that?"
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, thank you for that memory. That was really good. But I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, need to listen to me. The days of T-bills, the days of all those nonsense fallacies. You don't want to do that anymore. Okay. You really need to choose. You'll be investing in lithium. You'll be going with gold, silver, and you'll definitely be going with Bitcoin. Which do you think is going to be more palatable for exchange with retail outlets? Will it eventually
Not
be?
gold.
Yeah. I mean, it's too dang heavy.
Well, what are you going to go into Starbucks and start shaving off like a little
Oh,
bit
yeah,
of gold?
exactly. Yeah.
Like,
Exactly.
you're going to take your gold bar
What
and you're going to shave off, and weigh it.
about gold and silver coins, though? Would those be workable?
Sure, though. I mean, yeah, but the denominations, I mean, it's hard to split it in the way that you want it, right? If you have a
Yeah.
gold coin, it could be, worth. It's a 1 ounce coin, it's $3,000. Like, how do you split that? So it's not flexible, right? And obviously, like, holding that, carrying that around, and then how do you transfer it? What if you want to buy something online, right?
I agree.
Bitcoin is the most efficient way to store value. It's like the digital gold. That's why they call it that. Because it has very similar properties, only it's much more portable, and it's more secure.
I could not agree with you more on that. And that's why I think Bitcoin is going to be the medium of exchange as we move further away from the dollar. But I don't think the dollar is going to go away. I mean,
Right.
and internationally, it really can't because too many nations are dependent on the dollar for trade. And they'd be in the dumper really quick if we said, well, we're going to pull the dollar and do these other things. I think we're going to, like I said, have a basket of currencies backing up the dollar. But I think that here in America and with our major trading partners, first world nations, this is the wave of the future. I'm trying to think of something to liken it to in history, something that people could say, yeah, that's it.
To liken Bitcoin to
I
Bitcoin.
mean, the shift in technology and economic practice is going to be so dramatic.
Yeah, I mean it's like they say it's like the internet, right? It's very similar. I mean it's
Interesting.
the next evolution of the internet, right? Where in terms of an innovation that has really had a monumental impact on the world.
Yeah, you couldn't be more correct on that guy. Because this is going to be one of the things that people talk about. It really is. And the bankers are going crazy on this.
Yeah, and look, banks, they're adopting it now. I mean, it's obviously not, it's something that they were against the most, but now they are adopting it. They have to custody it, and they have to leverage the technology, and that's what they're doing.
But here's the problem, though. They're into this so late because of their skepticism and their desire just to dominate paper currency. They're in this so late. All they can do is participate like everybody else. They can't control it.
Right. Yeah. And so now they shift their role to more like, being a custodian, being an advisor,
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that's just why I'm so excited for this. But anyway, let's give out their contact information again because people are going to want to know more and people you should want to know more. So if they said, okay, I like guy, sounds like a reputable man, good organization. It is a good organization. very reputable people. They don't be answering the phone saying, "I'd be helping you very, very much," and you can't understand a word they're saying. Okay, you're not going to get that. You're going to get hard.
You might get a little bit of a southern accent.
That's
I
okay.
don't, I don't know if that's okay with you, but yeah, we have some people out of Louisiana, that you'll understand them. I think it's a great accent. But yeah, I think if you call this number, we'll pick up 833-636-2008. During business hours, you leave a message, we'll call you back, as soon as possible, as soon as we open. But yeah, you can also email us and sign up online. But yeah, we have not just Bitcoin, by the way. We have all kinds of
XRP and
XRP, Solana, right? And a lot of these have had big advancements recently. Like Solana, for example, and this is something I was telling you about earlier. Basically, partnered up with a company called Bmaps, which is also partnered with Lyft now to essentially decentralize map data. So you have these drivers with dash cams that can collect data. It takes photos of street signs and like construction. So you're getting real time data about maps, and then basically Lyft can use that, and you can build a Google Maps on top of it. So it's a kind of open source, network that basically people can profit off of by participating, and then you can build applications on top of it. It's data that is now democratized. It's not just, being controlled by Google, right? Google has, basically they have people taking pictures, for maps, right? How when you go on Google Maps and you can zoom into a house and you can see the street view, right? They have actual, people that work for Google that collect that. Well, now you can have just the average Joe, taking a picture through the dash cam, and that average Joe can get paid. And now you can have better applications because it's not all owned by Google. You can have, a data layer that now Google competitors can use to build better maps. So this is just one use case of many in blockchain. But Solana, the point is, Solana is, I think, is a great cryptocurrency to look at because it's a network that allows you to build those types of applications. It's very fast. It's a competitor to Ethereum. And with this new partnership that came up, obviously that's going to help the price. And there's always new partnerships every day on top of Solana. And XRP is obviously very hot, went up 5x, in the last 6 months. So that one,
Is that going to continue to go up or is it going to level off?
I think it's going to continue to go up. Just, they released their stable coin. This is kind of replacing the Swift system, right? So this is a utility that is, basically the same as Swift, but much quicker. You can, send money abroad across borders instantaneously. I heard someone, like a rumor, is that like someone's saying they think Meta would probably acquire XRP, but that's just speculation. But yeah, I think the technology is great. Banks are using it, right? So it's kind of
Yeah.
being combined with traditional finance. So I
It's
think,
fantastic. It truly is. Well, one more time with the number because you're going to have
yeah,
people.
833-636-2008. So 636 spells out MDM, my digital money, and 2008 is when Bitcoin was created out of the financial crisis
Yep.
in 2008. So that's kind of why we picked a number, hopefully to make it easier to remember.
I have a confession to make. When I first heard of Bitcoin, I thought someone's going to jail. They'll be coming after him. And now here we are. It's just part of what we do. Guy, thanks so much for coming on. Interesting stuff. And congratulations on that trend curve. I know it's really helping you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It
Okay.
was a pleasure.
Take care. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America and espousing Christian values. And we're trying to free people. One enslaved mind at a time. And it's kind of working. I mean, the mainstream media has really lost its grip. And they're certainly not espousing the virtues that we try to do here on this show. But we would ask that you would join us in spreading the word as to what we're demonstrating here, what we teach. what we stand for, because we still have a country that I think that's worth fighting for. And we do have midterms coming up, and we're in that season. People say, dude, I don't see any campaigns. We're posturing right now. We need to change mindsets to get people involved. People were geared for the presidential election, but if Trump and his party lose the House and or the Senate, it's game over for the reforms that we had hoped for. Hey, we're brought to you by the Nanosoma products. This right there, the Nanosoma spray, changed my life for the better. I got diagnosed very serious illness last year. I had pneumonia, got through that, and I also had RSV, strep lung linings. Dave's going to go south, not going to be good for you. Nothing else worked. Now, this doesn't cure anything, but what it does do is it boosts your immune system to a terrific level by enhancing vitamin D, C, affecting the telomeres of the cells. It's all right there at iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. How long did it take me? Well, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. 2 weeks after using this, I was walking up a flight of stairs back in the gym at a very low level. But when I got back in the gym, I had age-old problems that forced me to quit playing basketball 25 years ago, and that was bone on bone, right knee. And my friend Scotty Sachs says, Dave, use this Nanosoma gel, rub it on the joint. And he says, I don't know how long it's going to take, but eventually going to get relief. Within a month, I was doing things I didn't think was possible. Within 6 months, I was doing things I hadn't done in over 25 years. No inflammation in the knee when I work out. I do sledding, I do squats, deadlifts, and I'm not breaking world record at my age, but this stuff I'm doing now would have sent me into a bad situation with regard to inflammation 25 years ago and up to the present. And I've basically have been pain-free for the last 8 or 9 months. And then the vanity cream erases fine lines and wrinkles. That's the Nanosoma skin cream. Together, they're the three pack, and they sell together called a starter pack. Great discounts, 15% off. And this stuff has been a godsend for me. I owe my life to this company, and I won't be happy until everyone's using these products. Well, we have a very interesting story here, and you can see in the background, I've got a map that I've put up there, and you can see the Nevada-Oregon border, and you can see what's called the McDermott Lithium Project, and the little circle behind me that you can partially see, and we'll have that on the thumbnail, is called the McDermott Caldera. And this, if you know about the caldera, it can be a precursor to volcanic activity, and somewhat this has, but not going to go there, I don't believe. But the caldera has settled, the water is gone, and basically raw lithium is exposed on the surface. And lithium is amazingly important. We're at a crossroads right now in our development, economically speaking. We had the Copper Age, we had the Bronze Age. We had the Iron Age. Now, this is going to be known, I believe, as the Lithium Age, because everything that we're doing, from satellites to cell phones to anything with a battery at all, electric vehicles, power tools, e-bikes. So we're spanning a whole range of products and devices that can benefit from abundance of lithium. And it's estimated by 2040, that's only 15 years from now, that we will need 40 times the lithium that we have right now. Now, we can commit economic suicide and we can go try to import it from China. Don't think they're going to give us very, very favorable terms given what's going on geopolitically. You can go to areas in South America, but they're charging an arm and a leg. There's some in Afghanistan, and we all do have our base back at Bagram as a counter to Chinese military threats because it's within an hour of Chinese nuclear facilities. But I don't know that the Taliban is going to be really open for us to do mass mining and stripping out the lithium. But here we have a gift that's also in North Carolina, too hard to get out, too many people to displace. Maine, with their very liberal policies, don't want to allow any mining because they believe any mining is anti-climate. Okay, health. And so they block all that. Nevada's open-minded, but you can see that this lithium project projects into southern Oregon, not by a lot. But what concerns me here is Oregon and their politics are much more similar to Maine than they are to Nevada. So I'm wondering if they would ever try to block this by actions in federal district courts. And Donald Trump can tell you what that's all about. They may go about this as far as, well, shall we say, being bad for climate change. And I'm not saying they're going to, but that's their history. So this may be exclusively Nevada, although this is such an economic boon. Yeah, exactly. The leaders of Oregon might have to make a decision there. Okay, so let's talk about the companies involved. And there's going to be controversy. And let me go take you back in time. Did people get stepped on in industrialization? Yeah, primarily it was the workers. That's how labor unions got started. We had the Haymarket riot and all those things, if you know your American history. So whenever we go through a technological change, a guy named Zbigniew Brzezinski, who helped found the Trilateral Commission and was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, he wrote a book called Between Two Ages. And in the book, he said that when a country or a region goes through a huge technological shift, the people go through a hard time for about a generation or about 20 years. Well, that was true in the industrial age. In fact, I would argue it even went on sporadically to the negative, even exceeding the 20 years. Will that happen with this? Has the potential. And I'll be covering that with you before we leave this topic. But I will say this, the negativity associated with this project and the people it will impact is still yet to be fully researched. Actually, Pat Wood brought the victimization of certain groups to my attention in a phone call he made to me a couple of days ago. You know, Pat Wood from Technocracy News. And I asked Pat, I said, do you have a lot of detail on this? He goes, not really. He goes, I'm just finding out about it. Excuse me. But he said the battle is going to be over water. I'll cover that in here. And we'll absolutely hit that. So I think this is something to be mindful of. Can we take advantage of what's going to be amazing and still respect people's rights? That's going to be the balancing act. And corporations, they're amoral. They're not necessarily evil in many cases, but they're not necessarily concerned about people. They're concerned about the next quarter profits, their stockholders. And they have to have a sense of fairness and justice and morality imposed upon them. And this is true for many, many corporations. Remember Jesus going through the temple? His target then was the bankers. Same attitudes. All right, let's take a look at the companies involved. Lithium America. Lithium America. There's North America, South America, and they split into two. And it's really clear why they split. I guarantee you this came from the Trump administration because Lithium America in South America is dominated by by Gen Fang. And what does that sound like? Chinese, right? They're dominating lithium mining in South America, Chile, Ecuador, Bolivia, where the largest known mine is right now, they're dominating. Well, the Trump administration doesn't want to give China a foothold on what could be the most valuable mineral in the next 15 years and something that has the potential to totally turn around our economy. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. So, what happened is North America, South America, of Lithium America, they split, they bifurcated. No China on this end in Nevada. And it's not that they're not going to make a power play, and they usually do it through third-party shell corporations to hide their intentions. I think the Trump administration is going to be all over this. That's not going to happen. Okay, so let's get into the situation now. This lithium deposit is so massive. It would be the biggest in the world, and it wouldn't be close. With Trump's fascination that we see for a Ukrainian minerals deal with Zelensky, and now we've got something going on with the Congo with regard to their minerals. Lithium, by the way, is a major part of it. You go, I haven't heard of that. No, it's pretty much out of the news. You have to research it. But there was a revolution, still kind of is, but not like it was. There were rebels that actually took over part of the capital city, and Trump has come down on the side of the existing power. And it's not like this dictator is benevolent. He's not. But Trump is making deals for support to get these minerals. So his fascination obviously is going to be pushed into this caldera area, what we call McDermott, the McDermott caldera, the McDermott area, and this is called the McDermott Lithium Project. You know, the feds are going to be here. And it was really important for Trump that he got control of the EPA because EPA applied as it was in the last administration could clearly block this project because there is a potential to displace wildlife. American bald eagle in this area is one of them. Okay. Many wildlife species could be endangered by this. So there is a drawback here. And I don't know if these concerns are going to be imposed on the developers. I suspect not. There's also going to be the impact on a nearby community. They anticipate increasing their population by 20 to 50%. And they say sewer, water, and housing. They don't have the ability to build about 4 to 6 houses a year. And that, well, this could be off the charts. So these companies are promising to m build what they call man dormitories for the workers to live in. Yeah. Well, if you want to be a normal guy and meet a lovely girl and get married and have a family, you're not going to stay in the man dormitory very long. You're going to be going to the nearby city. And this is going to put stress on the city. But the biggest objection right now to this project are two Native American tribes. They view this area, part of this area, as being spiritually sacred. And I got to tell you, most Americans will side with the Native Americans here. Because the feeling is, haven't these people had enough done to them in the past? Victims of imperialism, unfair treatment, stripping of land and resources. How far does this go? The checkbook has to come out. And I don't know if that's enough to overcome indigenous spiritual beliefs about a geographic area. But you know who's going to win. And then there's the issue of water. There are farmers and ranchers in the area. Now, there is a plan from this company that they're only going to mine for the first 20 years above the water table. So you would presume that there would be a limited effect on the availability of water. But the 40-year lease would allow in the second 20 years of the lease to mine below the water level. This would affect farmers and ranchers. And this is what prompted Pat Wood to call me. He gave us in my area some assistance. We were fighting the forces of John McCain and the Central America Free Trade Agreement Group with Ted Kennedy and all those people. They wanted us off our land so they could build a multimodal hub to further their transportation corridor called the Kanamex Highway System. And they didn't want to pay us any money. They knew they had time and they just tried to get local agencies, particularly county and state, to pass laws that it, basically stripped us of our property rights. 8-year legal battle on our end. That's what actually put me behind the microphone. And don't ever speak up at a public meeting because I did in my community. They go, you're the spokesperson. And my life was never the same. 8-year battle. We were mostly successful. We're still fighting some lingering battles, but as far as property rights go, we were very successful. And we really won against all odds. We really shouldn't have, but we got unexpected support from now Supreme Court Justice Clint Bullock, who then was with the Goldwater Institute and mutual friend of ours, got him to get interested in our case and they took it on, much to the chagrin of how they got hammered by the mainstream media. Yeah, we weren't entitled to property rights. I actually had a meeting, to digress for a second, with the Arizona Republic Editorial Board. I kid you not. It was myself and my wife. My co-leader Gary Byler was too sick to go. The late Gary Byler, Silver Star Award winner, Vietnam, two tours of duty, double amputee. That Gary Byler was one of my heroes. But Gary was too sick to go, so it was just my wife and myself. And I presented the constitutional violations that were going on with regard to how this was being administered. And we naively hoped that the Arizona Republic would side with us. Well, they didn't. In fact, the leader of Vernita Hawthorne James, she had a little different view of the Constitution and Republic form of democracy than we did. Because after we went through everything, now, by the way, the two people with her, they'll both leave the editorial board. And they both told me at one time that, interestingly, they said, "Dave, your case was one of the reasons why we couldn't be a part of this." And they went to work for other groups journalistically. One of the journalists was the younger sister of someone I'd coached in basketball. So she had familiarity with me. I knew the family well, and it really worked to our benefit. But Vernita Hawthorne James leaned over the table. She goes, "Dave, I understand all your constitutional arguments, and you've articulated them very clearly, and you seem to be on very solid ground. But for the good of the country, shouldn't you just get off your land?" And I said, "Well, maybe." But I said, "Compensation?" She goes, "No, they probably can't afford it." I'm not joking. I'm telling this story by digression to apply it into this situation. Pat Wood called me for a reason because Pat Wood gave me some assistance during that time when we were going through that 8-year battle. He knew I would be sensitive to some of these issues. So he calls me and we talk. He says, "Dave, I don't know a lot yet, but I thought you might be interested." And so I decided to research this. Now, let me say this. It's the position of the Common Sense Show that we do need to rescue our economy, and we are going into a lithium age, and we can be the world trendsetter, and we can be exporting as opposed to importing. And that will mean many more jobs, a more stable economy. And maybe people can return to a sense of economic normality that's been sadly missing in the last several years. So I recognize the need to do this, but I also recognize our responsibility to our citizens to do it fairly and in a non-punitive manner. And I'm bringing this up because right now I don't have answers. I am going to reach out to some of these tribal leaders to see if they're willing to talk to me. And I've found in these issues too, involving many of the tribes across America, they're suspicious of anyone who sounds like the media, because the media hasn't always been friendly to them. Hopefully I can disarm their mistrust and get them to realize I just want to be fair. But I'm concerned about these people. I'm concerned, and this is why Pat called me. He knew someone who was a farmer, and they're afraid they're going to lose their water eventually because of this mining operation. And Pat said, "Dave, I knew this would get your attention." And he's right. And so we'll be looking to get there. Now, if you're hearing this and you're in the affected area, okay, and you're someone who's a stakeholder in this, feel free to reach out to me at DaveHodges@thecommonsenseshow.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you. Maybe we'll do a spot on our radio network about this. But this is something that I'm going to explore. Now, people say, "Well, Dave, are you for it?" Yes, I'm for it, but I'm for it in a responsible manner that respects everyone's rights. And this is something that I literally think this could save the economy of the country. Literally, it's that big, but at what expense? I don't believe in collateral damage and acceptable casualty excuses. That doesn't fly with me. And I don't know if monetary compensation will help the tribes with what they're fighting. I saw this with Lahaina, with people not being able to get the insurance they need to rebuild, the insensitivity of the powers that be. In that regard, I've seen it, and I'm afraid that this could repeat right here. So anyway, just thought you ought to know. And here's the bottom line. Pat Wood said this best. I said, "Pat, do the people have standing?" This is before I looked into it. And he goes, "Dave, I think you know how this is probably going to end." Well, maybe and maybe not. The power of the collective, raising the voices of people who care, could make a difference and make this beneficial for everyone and not exploitive to the few without a governmental voice. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.